New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. I'm Dani Sharif, your host, certified fertility awareness practitioner, functional nutrition counselor, and founder of the HA Society, and of course, an HA recovery coach who has walked where you currently are walking. This is the place to come if you care about getting your period regularly. This podcast aims to educate, inform, and keep you motivated on your period and HA recovery track. So let's dive in. But last thing, nothing on the show should be taken as medical advice, so please seek the advice of your physician. The final round of the Restore Your Fertility Group program is opening December 4. Get on top of it, ladies. Let's start thinking about the new year. Let's start putting ourselves first. Let's start thinking about what we really, really want. Stop with the fear. Make the decision. You want to recover. If you feel like you're beating around the bush, if you feel like you're avoiding, if you're in quasi-recovery, if you're just missing important advice and guidance and you just don't have the answers and you need help, that's what we do. Our last round of the Restore program just finished up about 2 weeks ago. 100% success rate. Everybody got their goal. Everybody reached their goal. I'm so proud of that. This group is just getting better and better. So you're 100% going to want to join. I just know it in my gut that this is the year for you. So you're just not going to want to sleep on it. You don't want to get to the end of 2025 and be like, oh my gosh, I should have just done the thing and taken the advice and gotten the help. Let's just bite the bullet. Let's get the work done. Let's go through all of the facts. Let's come up with a plan specific to you. And let's meet every week for 10 weeks until you get the job done. That's our goal with you. Head to thehasociety.com/restore-live. That's thehasociety.com/restore-live. And apply for the program and you and I can chat and figure out if this is a good move for you, if it's the right place for you, and move forward if getting your period back and getting pregnant by the end of 2025 is your goal. Hey guys, welcome back to the HA Podcast. Today I am here with a client of mine from ages ago. Actually, late last year. So, right?
Maybe. Yeah, it feels like a long time ago.
Oh, I have your success email here, October 5. So I guess a year. So I'm not going to give it away what that email is, but okay, everybody, welcome Heather to the show. I never forgot this case because it was like a really good example of a PCOS to HA diagnosis, and I'm going to let her tell that, but everybody, welcome Heather. Heather, tell us about yourself, who you are, where you're from, how old you are, and where your story begins.
Yeah, so I'm Heather. I am 31. So I think I started talking to Dani when I was 29. Yeah. And I am a physical therapist and I live in the US in the Midwest. So, as far as where my story begins, I've always been like a rule follower, high achiever, perfectionist type of person, which a lot of people really kind of, jive with. So, that's been forever, but Probably around like junior high, high school is when I started kind of being a little bit more aware of like, oh, like I want to be skinny. I want to be the healthy person. I want to be able to control that, I guess. I think it came down to a lot of wanting to control that part of my life. And not because like anybody in my family was restrictive or because we had any like certain diets or anything. We ate everything. And I mean, we're from the Midwest. It's like we have casseroles all the time. But somehow, somewhere in there, I just kind of started to try to like make the healthier choices that I thought were healthier, which ended up really not being healthy at all. So it was like at school, I would always have school lunches, but then they would, if you didn't want whatever they're serving at lunch, you could have chef salad. And so I started just like, okay, well, I'll have the salad. And it was like, I don't know, like iceberg lettuce and a little bit of ham and eggs and like very, and then I'd get like Italian dressing that was the least like caloric or whatever. So then it's like couple that with like daily workouts for volleyball or basketball or whatever I was playing because I was in sports and stuff. And it just was pretty much a terrible idea, but I thought it was a good idea at the time. And it was like we'd go to McDonald's after games and things like that. And so I'd be choosing like, oh, I'm going to try the chicken wrap. And like when they had those little like yogurt granola things, I chose those while my friends were getting like fries and burgers after an hour long basketball game where you were running for like an hour. And so it was just kind of like those little swaps. And then it started when I got a little older and I was just kind of like making my own foods and a little bit more on my own schedule. So then it was like, well, I'm going to choose to have almond milk instead of like cow's milk because it's less calories, or I'm going to have like the low fat version of this or whatever. So I just kind of started making those little swaps somewhere, somehow. And so it must have been probably my junior year of high school. I lost my period, and my mom and I were kind of like, oh, that's kind of weird. And and before that, because I've been regular before that, as far as I remember. And so I remember going to the doctor and getting an ultrasound to make sure everything was okay. And it seemed to be, but then my doctor was like, well, let's just put you on birth control. And I was like, oh, I'm not sexually active, and that's what birth control is for. So why am I going to take that? And my mom, I think, was kind of like, I don't think I want her just on that medication. And so I'm really thankful that we didn't have me go on it at that point, because I know a lot of women my age just went on it for acne or for whatever at that high school age, and didn't really think much about it. And now all this is coming out that we're kind of like, oh, that was actually a really bad idea. So I was so out of touch with my periods. Like, I can't even remember if they came back or not. Like, I think they did, but they were never regular again. And I, like, literally, when I was filling out my questionnaire for Danny, I was like, I don't have any clue when my last period was. I can't even ballpark it. I just know that it stopped in high school. So, and I never really went to another doctor about it. I just kind of like went with it. And people would say like, oh, like that happened to me too. It'll come back or whatever. Like, it's actually kind of nice that you don't have one. It's like, okay, well, it's kind of weird, but it'll probably come back. And so, then I went to from high school, went into college, and I was at community college and living at home. But I was super busy. I just had like a couple different jobs, just like really busy with church stuff and school and doing honors classes and just like not home a lot and just eating on the run all the time. Like, I remember going to class and I may have like, I would run in the morning and then I would have an apple for breakfast. I'd have a Clif Bar for lunch. And then maybe I would like snack at dinner, or like if I was eating with my parents, maybe I'd eat what they were eating, but always try to like pull my portions back. And I don't think that like my family was really aware, because I was just gone all the time doing stuff, and I would eat in my car like all the time. Since I wasn't doing sports anymore, I was starting to kind of discover running. And my mom had done some half marathons, not like a lot, but it was just in my mind like, oh yeah, that's like an achievable thing to do. Like maybe I would try that. So I ran one with my mom, my first year of college. And that was kind of like, I don't know, the gateway drug to running or something. I just was like, oh, that was super fun. And it was fun to challenge myself and see like, oh, I've never run this far before. And each week and just know that like, oh, I can do that. And then you get like a runner's high from it too. So that's, I just kind of like enjoyed the whole process of it. And it was also a way to keep kind of controlling my weight and my body and everything like that. So that was kind of my desired form of exercise now that I wasn't doing any sports. And I didn't really take rest days. I just ran as many days as I could, maybe like one day off. But, and then I would like take walks in between, like, just like walks during the day, just to get more movement in, because I was specifically intentionally trying to like burn as many calories as I could and eat as little as I could. And I was miserable. And I remember thinking one time, like, it goes day to day. Like one morning you wake up and you feel so good because you controlled what you ate so well the day before that you're proud of what you ate and how well you were disciplined or whatever. And then the next day you maybe went out with friends and ate pasta and you woke up the next day and felt like, I'm so fat. I can't even, like,
You're
I'm
only as
so.
good as your best day of dieting.
Right. And you just get so mad at yourself. And so, like, I remember thinking, like, I don't want to get out of bed. And I was like, well, that is a terrible place to be. And I knew that it was wrong. Like, I knew my thinking was so wrong and that I was just idolizing this, but it felt like I couldn't get out of it. I just, like, yeah, I felt like I was just hitting a wall whenever I would think about it. And and to be honest, I never really tried that hard to not do it. It's like you don't want to be thinking about food and exercise and dieting that way, but you almost kind of still do want it. And so you just keep the cycle going until something breaks and you can't anymore. And for me, that took, I don't know, 12 years or something, or a little longer than that, maybe. So I was in college running all the time, eating as little as I could. And then I transferred to a school across the country. And so I was like far away from family and just kind of like working again, when I could, not very much, but just like taking harder classes now. And I was a kinesiology major. So then it's like, what you're studying is like movement and diet and exercise periodization and things like that. And I never was really like that good at like working out like weights and stuff. Like I just love the cardio. If you just give me a cardio machine, I'll just go for an hour and a half or something as long as I get. But I remember taking a sports nutrition class and they made you like go and it was just like measuring all your food that you ate a day. Just like don't change anything, just measure everything you ate. And it was kind of like, oh man, like I don't get I my big takeaway is I don't get enough protein. My big takeaway should have probably been like, wow, you should be eating twice as many calories. But I ate like a bajillion salads at college. Like so many salads. And not a lot of protein. And so then my remedy was like, okay, I'll add eggs to my salad. That was like my big change or something. So, was good, but
Oh,
probably
wow.
should have.
Everyone can resonate with that. Everyone was like, all right, here's what I'm willing to do first. Right.
And it wasn't even that it was like, oh, I just need some more calories. It was like, oh, the protein is just my missing link. So I ate a million salads, and everybody I feel like says that they gain their freshman 15 by like the ice cream machine. And so like to me, the ice cream machine was like evil. Like I will not have it. I don't know if I had it once in 2 years that I went to school there. Like I don't think I did. And I don't know if I ever got dessert there. Maybe like twice from the cafeteria. But
Special occasion, someone's birthday.
yeah, it
Yeah.
had to be
Okay.
something like extra special, and then you pay for it later, or you don't eat something else later because of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Real
So,
comment, undulating calories. Absolutely. Yeah, these are, see, this is good. These are relatable. Everyone did these things for one reason or another, right?
Oh, and you know what? After I started listening to this podcast, I was blown away. It cracks me up now still. This is the funniest thing to me. I ate gobs and gobs of peanut butter. I just ate spoonfuls of it. It was an obscene amount. And I'm like, I hear all these people saying the same thing, and I'm like, I was just so hungry. It wasn't that I just love peanut butter. It was that I was like starving.
It was that the brain went, this is a good thing for us. Like we need fat and carbs and like some sugar. And like there's something about peanut butter that for most people, like the brain is like, yes, this is the solution. But then inevitably we feel bad about it and undulate that. Unless you mean after you were in recovery.
No, because that's something that went away. And I was like, I don't
Okay.
even need this anymore. Like, I hardly even eat peanut butter. I've had
Yeah.
that jar in the fridge forever.
Yeah. You think that you're going to want to, like, you think you're that's your personality and you're always going to be like a, lack self-control around certain types of food in your
Yes.
mouth. But no, that's not really the case. You're just hungry.
Yeah, because there was no self-control with peanut butter. It was just like spoonfuls and spoonfuls. And it was my personality. It's like everybody knew that I loved it. And one time somebody like stole my peanut butter jar as a joke, like from my fridge or something. And like held it for ransom, made me do something to get it back or whatever. Because they knew that I like ate so much peanut butter. It was ridiculous. Maybe I should have just been, I don't know, eating more pasta in the cafeteria that I was paying for.
Realistically, yes, right? So it's so fascinating to see. That's what happens when we're in a deficit. And now we're being driven towards the most calorically dense food. And this is a total side tangent rabbit hole that I should probably talk about some other time. But like later on down the track, 6 months, 12 months, maybe even longer, it will surprise people. They can maintain a period on what feels like once you've been through HA recovery, significantly less food. Maybe for some people, even a similar amount to what they were eating prior, not most, but just like definitely less than what they were eating for recovery. And it's like, how? Why? And I think there's many factors, but one just being you're no longer in debt. So you can operate on less. Like you don't have to pay interest anymore. And that's fascinating because like your behavior around food and the cravings and how long you can go without thinking about food and things like that totally changes. Has that been the case for you?
Oh yeah. I was just like, 'cause I remember like going to sleep one night thinking about what I was gonna have for breakfast in the morning, like how I was gonna like kind of like prepare my mind of like I'm gonna have two of these like little cutie oranges and like I don't know, maybe one other thing. I don't know. It was like hardly anything, but it was like preparing my mind of like this is all I'm gonna eat. And so then like going to sleep thinking about that. And then being stressed if you're gonna go out to eat somewhere and there's nothing healthy, or you just choose the absolutely like grossest thing because it's healthy and don't even enjoy the time that you're spending with people going to do things and.
Yeah, going out for dinner is never about the food for me anymore. And it used to be like, what are we going to eat? Is it going to be good? How should I manage my food today so I can go? Or being overly excited about going out for the food. And it's just not even like on my radar.
It's so much less stressful.
Great. Okay. All right. So where are we in the story now?
So I'm in college still.
Okay, we're in college. Go.
And I even did write a paper on the female athlete triad and did not connect that to myself. Can you, 'cause like I thought like, okay, this is for like athletes and
Wait, you're not a female athlete.
I'm just kind of like doing my thing, doing some running. I'm like, I'm not even that intense. And I did not even like be like, wow, this is what's happening to your body. You should really stop this somehow. And, but it must have like made me think at least, 'cause it's like, yeah, you don't have periods or you don't have them regularly. Like, shouldn't you think about this? Because I honestly can't remember if they came back in college or not at all. They probably didn't based on just my habits. Because it was
Right.
like stay up late to study, or like I was on dorm staff and stuff. So you're staying up late to do stuff with that and then getting up at whatever, six, going out to work out and then carrying on with the rest of your classes and everything that are hard and consuming. And yeah,
Yeah.
it was too much. So, then I graduated and eventually moved back to the Midwest because it's just too expensive to live, because I was on the West Coast. So too expensive to live there, and then apply for PT school, which is kind of the end goal here. And so I moved back to the Midwest and did get into PT school. And at some point in there, maybe it was because of all the physiology I was taking, but I was like, I want to figure out my periods. Like, I'm going to go to another doctor. And so I went to this lady, and she did give me the Provera challenge. And I remember I did bleed. And then she was like, okay, well, let's just put you on birth control. And I can't remember all of her rationale, but it was to my understanding, it was like, oh, this can kickstart your period. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll try that. And so I tried it for a little while, and then obviously I bled because it's all fake and I didn't know it. And then I was kind of like, okay, well, I don't want to take this far. I just want to kind of see if my body will do it. So I stopped taking it, and of course nothing happened after a while. And so I think I did that a couple of times. Like, I would go on it and then come back off again just to see, and hoping that like something would happen. Obviously, I didn't understand how it worked, because in my mind it was like, oh, it kickstarts it. It'll just kind of nudge my body in the direction. And I was already just like too far in that deficit for anything to happen until I like really pulled back the exercise and ate. But I mean, I'm in PT school and I'm in this like super busy season again. I'm working at the gym, as like at the front desk, which makes me like just close proximally to the gym. So I can like, I don't know, sometimes I'll go twice a day, you know what I mean? And then I would wake up and get there at 4:30 to open. And then I would go to class and then come back to the gym, work out. And then I would go home and I would study, and it'd be this late night. And then you just kind of like start doing everything over again. So it was just a lot of the same patterns of not sleeping, high cortisol levels, and being stressed all the time. So PT school is 3 years, and then 2 years into it, my now husband and I were planning to get married, and we were starting to talk about like, okay, like how do we want to think about like a family and stuff, because we both wanted kids. But we were like, okay, well, we don't want them, because we got married 2 years into PT school, and then I had one more year left. And we're like, well, I don't think it'd be really feasible for us to have children like while I'm in PT school. And so we were trying to kind of figure out like, do we want to do natural family planning, which to me seemed so overwhelming to learn it. Like, that's how much out of touch I was, because I was just like, I can't even like manage to learn another thing like that because I was studying so much. But also, it was just like, I feel like I don't know anything about my body and I cannot study that right now. And so I was like, so we kind of like searched around, and we decided to just get on the birth control pill again. Probably wouldn't have mattered at all because I wasn't cycling. And but somehow I was like, oh, we are like seriously at risk for getting pregnant anytime.
I mean, you never know, right? Like, there could have been like that one spontaneous. I mean, I've met those people who I've had intakes with, and they've been like, I didn't have a period for 18 years, but I did one time spontaneously ovulate and get pregnant.
It's wild.
I've met like two of them. I'm like, what do you mean the one time? I had someone
Crazy.
who'd never had a period or hadn't had one for like 20 years and one time ovulated and got pregnant on that ovulation. So like still technically never had a period.
That is wild.
So just saying like, okay, don't feel bad. All right. Just feel bad. It's not the craziest thing. But I certainly went like 10,
15 years just like never having, I was not on the pill and I knew I couldn't get pregnant. And I just was like, great.
It's like more convenient not to have a period.
I
It's
know, but I
whatever.
didn't know back then, like that, you know, that it was important.
I know. I know. And then I learned so many things once I found this podcast. So when I went to that, so it was the same doctor that prescribed me the birth control in the first place when I'd been trying to figure out like what's going on with my periods. And so then I asked her because I was like, okay, I know I'm having issues with this. Like when we want to get pregnant, what's the game plan? And she told me, we'll just send you to a fertility specialist. And I was like, well, that seems kind of dramatic, but okay. So I was like, okay, I guess we'll figure this out later. And so that's just kind of what we did. And then a year later, we decided that I'd come off the pill, and both knowing that, like, okay, something's not right here. We're probably going to have to like dig a little bit to figure this out. So I found a different doctor because I was like, I don't like that. And I want to figure this out and have my body actually do it. Like, I don't, like, I need to figure out what's going on here. And so, so I went to this new doctor and was really hopeful about it. And she actually teaches, she doesn't herself teach it, but she would like refer me to this lady that would teach me the Creighton model, which is like natural family planning, only checking cervical mucus instead of temps and stuff like that. So I would chart. So once I was like learning that method, I would chart and then come back to my appointments with my chart so my doctor could look at it and see like, okay, is what we're doing working? Which I appreciated because it felt like a lot more like, I don't know, just like evidence of like what's going on instead of just like, oh, let's just take this med and then hope for the best and do this for an indefinite amount of time. So she did put me on, and I can't even remember at what point we did all these things, but I started tracking with the Creighton model, or at least trying, like November of 2021. Yeah. And then she did another ultrasound with me and blood work. And then the blood work was kind of inconclusive. It was all kind of like low ranges, but still normal. So it was nothing that like stuck out that was like, oh, this is a problem. Except for, I think maybe like my, I don't know. She kind of said that like my blood sugar levels were like low or something. But I don't think it was super noticeable either. It wasn't like so standout. But so then just basically, if I remember right, basically because of my ultrasound, which evidently showed like some extra like follicles or something, then,
Today, not tomorrow, not. Sorry, an ad just started playing.
oh, I was like, I don't
Like
know.
a
Is that
political
me?
ad, just like, I think like I have a pop-up from a window that's open. Sorry.
But so then she diagnosed me with PCOS based on like irregular cycles, and my ultrasound, I guess. And then started taking metformin, which is supposed to like was just really a diabetes drug, but also supposed to like help with my blood sugar levels and stuff like that, I guess. And then also, like myo-inositol, just supposed to help with that too. And then also, progesterone, like a pill progesterone. And then at some point, she had me on Mucinex, which was supposed to like thin the cervical mucus so I could like
I
observe it
remember
better.
that.
Yes, because I remember you
Yeah.
were like, why are you doing this? And I'm like, this is what she
Yeah.
said. I
And
don't know. I'm just.
still you might be the only person that, but now that that happened, I know that for when someone's like randomly producing more mucus than usual, and I ask them if they've been sick and been on it or something. So that was a helpful tool.
Yeah, that's smart. I don't think it did anything for me because I was still just like so much in deficit. So that all these things, like I was taking them all and I was doing all this stuff, but I was still like running all the time. I had started my job as a PT, but it was very stressful. Like being the first in your first year of anything is stressful, and I'm learning a ton of stuff and also like everything takes me longer, so I'm just working longer hours. It was just like so much stress related to my job too. And then trying to figure all this out. So I was taking all those meds and supplements and stuff. And then at some point I started like just doing my own research about PCOS and trying to just think like, okay, I wonder if like my body can just do this naturally. That would be ideal. If my body would just have a period without all of this stuff. And because we went from the progesterone pills to progesterone injections that my husband had to give me 3 times a month. And that was like also stressful because obviously like he doesn't want to give me an injection every month and I don't want to get one and it's sore afterwards and it's just all this stuff and disappointing because you're hoping that you're going the right direction and you just have to keep upping the dose, which was interesting because when I had my discovery call with you, you were basically like, okay, they're just like, they start at the least level of intervention and then they just keep trying to control the process more and more until like they just force ovulation. So I was kind of doing my own reading and stuff. And I had a friend, I think, reading the book, The Period Repair Manual by Lara Brighton, and she let me borrow it. And so I started reading that, kind of skimming it, mostly focusing on the PCOS chapters and reading it through the lens of PCOS. And so she kind of breaks down some different types and how they react to different foods and things like that. So then I am like looking at this, but also I don't think any of them really resonated too much with me, but I was like, okay, this one seems the most like me because a lot of these symptoms I don't have. It's only the irregular cycles and the ultrasound, which the more I researched, the ultrasound isn't even a reliable, you shouldn't even use it to really diagnose PCOS. And so
especially if you're just trying to determine between PCOS and HA, less helpful, right?
Yes.
To like narrow it down with blood work, then now maybe we'll look at it. But yeah, without context, could be anything.
Yeah. And so the more I like heard about things, I was like, PCOS is such a blanket term. Like, this is crazy. And so then I was looking at all these like characteristics in this book and thinking like, oh, maybe my problem is that I'm really like my body is inflamed with dairy and gluten. I should cut those out. So then I become even more restricted with my food because already I was eating like the low fat versions, like trying to not eat pasta and just things like that. All the little things that I'd pulled out over the years, leaving me with the food that according to my rules was okay. And so then this did not last very long, but I tried to cut out dairy and gluten and it was terrible. And then of course I'm just more hungry and I'm losing more weight because I am training for a 15K mm-hmm. or no, that was when I was training for a half marathon. So I'm running all this and then trying to cut all these foods out. And so I was like, okay, this isn't sustainable and I can't keep this up and I don't think it's going to do anything. So I just, yeah, that just couldn't last very long.
Hey, do you need hella ideas on what to even eat? Is what am I even supposed to eat? A question on your mind, curiosity, uncertainty, lack of clarity around what are actually meals that help you get your period back, right? What does it mean to eat nourishing meals? What does it mean to eat, quote, normal? All of these things are super common questions we get all the time. So our team has put together the best meal ideas guide for recovery that you have ever seen, if you've ever even seen one. So head to thehasociety.com/meal ideas to download it. It's totally free, a little gift for you just to help end the confusion. I hope you guys enjoy it. That's thehasociety.com/meal guide and enjoy the rest of the show.
So I think at that point, I kind of just kept looking around on like Lara Brighton's website because she was the only one I knew that was talking about this stuff and like how to heal your periods naturally. And that's what I was finding that I really wanted was just that, like, I think my body can do this. It's done it before. So what's going on? And so I think she had a post about HA. It was short, but it was enough to, like, kind of make me start thinking about it and being like, okay, well, I don't feel like I'm the most intense athlete ever, but maybe this could be what's going on. And so I think I just started, like, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I think I just searched on Apple Podcasts, like, hypothalamic amenorrhea, to just see if, like, people were posting about it so I could just learn about it. And so obviously, like, your podcast came up first. So then I started listening to that. And I remember I was running 5 miles, getting ready for a 15K, and listening to your podcast and thinking, I should probably not be doing this. And that was the last time I ran, because I think the next day even I had found a video on your website talking about just like a few characteristics of people with HA that you just generally see, like some of the perfectionistic qualities, some of the food restriction, the compulsive exercising. And I showed it to my husband and I was like, what do you think about this? And he's like, well, that sounds like you. And I was like, yeah. And I had a doctor appointment coming up. And so he's like, well, let's ask your doctor about it. And also, like, we can do a discovery call with these people, like, it's free, and just see. And so, like, that week I just stopped exercising. Like, I just was like, all right, I'm not doing that anymore. Because at this point we'd been trying to have a baby for over a year, and nothing was happening with my periods. Like, there was a little bit of, like, a hope glimmer, but then nothing would materialize, and I was like, this is, something's got to give. I went to the doctor and I asked her about it, and I was like, do you think, like, this could be related to my diet and exercise? I run a lot. And she's like, well, you can maybe run, like, just a couple days a week and kind of eat a little bit more. But that was kind of it. And I was like, I feel like she doesn't understand how much I think this is impacting. And she was going to have me go back onto, just because my body wasn't responding to, like, the progesterone pills anymore. She was going to have me go back to the injections again, which felt like a step backwards, because I had already done that. And then we had tried to, like, reduce my dose and it just wasn't doing anything. So we were going to go back to injections. And then she gave me letrozole. So to, like, force ovulation after that. And so I was just like, oh, this is just so frustrating. And I was like, what if, you know, it's kind of like, is my body even ready to do this? I think then sometime that week I had a discovery call with you, and just kind of talked about all these things, and what you told me just made so much sense. And I was like, I think me and my husband were like, we just need to try this. Like, we can't do both of these things at once, because we're not going to know which works. And HA sounds like a more reasonable problem that you're having right now. So let's just try that. And you had told me, even if you do have PCOS and HA, you're not going to know unless you just take care of HA first.
Yeah, you can't get to the PCOS without going through the HA.
Yeah. So I never went back to the doctor again, and I just started eating more. And then I think I had like a couple of calls with you, and then you looked at my food logs, and I felt like I was eating so much more. Like, at work, we have a pretty short lunch break, and I would just, like, document during my lunch or eat a smoothie or a Lara bar or something. And that was, like, my norm. And then I'd just be, like, so hungry the rest of the day, just feeling extra stressed. And I would never even take that little break in the middle of the day. And so then I'd been trying to, like, actually take my lunch break, bring a lunch, bring something substantial, and just sit and eat it. And then when I took pictures of what I was eating, which I felt like was already a lot, and that it increased my food intake a lot. And I had a sandwich, an apple, some, like, pretzels, nuts and stuff. And you were like, Oh, I think you should probably eat two sandwiches. And I was like, are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm so full. And so I started packing two sandwiches and I just felt like I was like stuffed all the time. But I was like, if this is what it takes. And so I was just, yeah, bringing my two sandwiches, taking my lunch breaks, trying to eat snacks. I think you told me even to like, okay, if you can just, I know like my days are just busy and I don't always have a break in there. So you're like, if you can just eat like a piece of chocolate or something, like just add something in somewhere. And so, and then, like the nature of my work, we have patients that bring us food all the time. And so like now there's like so much freedom eating whatever I want that they bring. And
So
just
nice.
Like, yeah, eating during the day. But yeah, so I just, yeah, I had to eat a lot more than I thought I needed to. I think you even told me like, okay, you were eating a smoothie. Okay, well just take your smoothie and eat that or like drink that during your day so that you're getting a little bit more since you're on the go all the time. So it was like trying that and just swapping all of my low fat stuff for like full fat and buying whole milk and ditching the almond milk and whatever I was eating, whether it's yogurt or sour cream or whatever, it's just like, it's gonna be no low fat things at all. And eating bread because I hardly ever bought bread and didn't let myself eat it. And so it was just like actually really freeing because I remember trying to like eat more at breakfast and just putting as much butter on my toast as I wanted. And it was so awesome. And I was so excited about it. And having like a big plate of food that was like eggs and potatoes and like spinach and toast. And I just was like so excited to eat my breakfast because I wasn't hungry and there was complete freedom and whatever I wanted to put on it, I could.
This is why I also think like going into holiday season, just like committing to it is really good at the holiday season because all of the things that you've historically avoided or been nervous about are here, and it's just like a calorically dense time of year and it's all just like exciting. I think this episode comes out late November, so I thought I would just like insert that into people's minds. They're like, oh, I think it could be really exciting. You could really have a good time.
Oh yeah,
like go through the whole, you know, we have a lull like during the holiday season appliance, which makes sense, right? Like people are like spending their money
and, yeah, busy
gifts and they're going to parties and whatever the hell it is about like Christmas time. Like you just spend all your money on retail because like you have to,
yeah,
not on yourself. And then we get this like pickup late January and then February, March. And my theory is because you know, people weren't looking to like finalize their life at the end of the year as they probably should be. And then like Christmas time was like triggering and everyone had their kids and everyone was asking, hey, why don't you have kids yet? And so-and-so or like your sister-in-law just announced she's pregnant. And it's just like triggering for people. And then, so they try to recover through the end or like through January. And they're like, you know what, this is really hot. And then we hear from them February, March. And it's like, you know what, just like do the thing at Christmas time when it's easier. Like if you're, it's just easier for you now. Just like you just made me think of that with everything that you're saying. But anyway.
Yeah. And yeah, it'd be so fun to recover during the holidays.
Right. Like, why do you want to do it in January? I mean, I guess like New Year, you know, new resolution, but like just it's literally everyone else is cooking for you.
True.
It's just great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. Great. There's so much freedom in it. But yeah. So then, so where we're at now is 2023. Yeah. So about like March or April 2023, I had reached out to you. And like the week or two before, I was already like, okay, I'm doing this. I'm doing the thing. I'm not exercising. I'm eating. And then I talked to you and, And then, yeah, then you told me to eat two sandwiches and a whole lot more stuff. And so I was just like really working on that. But also just like, I remember just, I don't know if there was probably tears, but just talking to my husband and like, I am so full and I just feel terrible. It's like after you're used to like moving all the time and like you're just kind of used to like operating a certain way, it was just kind of like all of a sudden a halt and then just feeling full all the time. And that's the feeling that I'd always, you always want to avoid, you know, you always want to feel like, okay, I'm probably almost the feeling of like, I'm just still a little bit hungry. Like when you're done eating, but it's like, no, now I've hit like, I'm satisfied, but also a little bit more.
Which I think,
Yeah.
like, you know how everyone says like 8 to 80% satiety, and like we develop this weird thing where we like feel guilty if we eat past 80%, and so we hear 80% as if like, I don't know if you agree with this. This is just my theory. We hear 80% as like you should still be a little bit hungry,
Yes.
but I don't actually disagree with that. I just think 100% full is like uncomfortable, and 80% is like you're just beyond comfortable. Like that's
Yeah.
how I take it. It's like no, you're just not like about to throw up. 100% full, you're gonna throw up. And some people in recovery feel that way for sure, and it has a time and place. But like going in like later on, like after recovery and everything, when you don't need to be essentially force feeding yourself a lot of the time, yeah, you should still feel like full and then some.
Yeah, in my brain it was like, yeah, you should still be a little bit hungry. Oh yeah. So that was pretty much April. And then I just worked at it and my husband was super supportive and really like he was definitely on board and he's like, yeah, this is it. And he's so sweet. He always made me feel like so pretty while I was doing this, 'cause you know, like you feel like, oh my gosh, like I'm not working out. I'm not like muscular like I used to be, or like I'm gaining weight or whatever, or like afraid of gaining weight and like, oh, I'm gonna look like this or not fit in these clothes or whatever. And he was just like so in my corner for it. And so then in June, we just moved into like a new place. And like one night I was like, oh my gosh, I got my period. I think it's my period. And we were so excited. We were so excited. So I think I emailed you pretty soon after that. And so I had and I mean, honestly, my cycles were not like ideal. I had one June, July, and August, and I got pregnant in August. But they were like, are 'cause then like the cycles were longer. They were probably like 40 days or something. But by this point, I was tracking my temps and I was feeling like so much more confident with the temp tracking than like the Creighton model tracking. I just felt like, oh, I can, this totally makes sense. And it did, it felt like so much less objective for
Yeah,
me.
it's mostly mucus, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I felt like, I don't know what I'm doing. And my mucus is probably like just all over the place anyways, because everything was wacky. But, yeah, so I felt like I knew what I was doing, like I knew how to track it, and then yeah, we got pregnant in August. And we actually miscarried the end of September, which was heartbreaking and like we'll always like grieve that baby. But we were both kind of like we still want to like try soon. Like we don't want to wait. Let's just keep trying next month. And my next cycle, like in November, we got pregnant again. And we just had my daughter in August. So,
I love that.
yeah. So, and it, yeah, it's just like it was so freeing to just kind of go into just that season of pregnancy and everything. And not be having any food rolls and not feel like I needed to exercise because I could not.
You just like, we're not having it.
And no, it's like early on, I was so sick and I just like couldn't do it. And I wanted to like move because it felt good. And like my back and my knees were hurting and stuff. And I was like, I just want to like move and start working back into this because I like it. And it's just like, yeah, no, that's just going to be for another time in your life.
Yeah. People's experience with pregnancy is so varied. You just have no idea. Like, if you're going to be that mom who's ready and up and about for most of it, or is just totally down for the count. It's so crazy, but I love that. And I love that, you know, I do see a number of people recover from HA and they do have miscarriages, and it is not any more frequent than the average woman, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing about HA that makes your pregnancy outcomes different to the average healthy woman, because you are now the average healthy woman. But I mm-hmm. can imagine, regardless, with all you've been through and the confusion and the doing this stuff and the trying the things and the medication and the lifestyle changes, that like after the first miscarriage, there was probably some doubt and anxiety of like, okay, well, here's the next adversity we're gonna go through, and how long is this maybe gonna take? And it's like a natural concern. Did you have that, or were you just like, no, I have a good feeling about the next time?
Well, I don't know. I think like my doctor, I go to a different doctor now, but she, I met with her right after the miscarriage, and she was like, you know, actually, it can be pretty common for women to get pregnant pretty quickly after, because your progesterone levels are still a little bit higher than your norm. She's like, so it may be easier for you to get pregnant. And a close friend of mine, that had happened to her. And I was just kind of like, okay, I'm hopeful for this. And we were both just like, we were pretty hopeful. But then when we did get pregnant, it was a lot of anxiety of like, can my body sustain? Yeah. Yeah. Like, will my body do what it's supposed to do? And it can.
Yeah. Yeah, pregnancy and conception is just this, specifically conception. Once you're pregnant, like it's going, you know, but initial conception and like implantation and the switch from the yolk sac to the placenta, it's like so complicated that like the body just like,
it's amazing.
It just like doesn't always work, you know, every time, but it will. One of the consecutive times for most women. It's just like, it's this amazingly complex process that unfortunately as women, we need to be ready sometimes, that like, sometimes it's not viable. But like your body is totally capable of doing it. It's just freaking this crazy miracle that like, how and why. So yeah, look at you. You're just like a normal functioning woman now, after being like, you know, after almost like being labeled as this like PCOS, HA, like can't get pregnant person. You're just like really normal now. Look at that.
I know. And we were so thankful, because it was like, I just wanted to be able to do it naturally. Like, I just wanted to know that my body could do it. And like, you just, I mean, there weren't a lot of tools that I needed, but you gave me just the right ones. You know what I mean? It wasn't like I needed a bunch of medications or a bunch of like, do all these weird things, stand in your head, drink this at, you know, whatever. It was just like, okay, well, eat more, exercise less. And then you did give me an individualized plan that was really helpful for me. And like some of the things that, you know, were my personal hangups and stuff, but it wasn't like so complicated that it was like not manageable.
No, we strive to give people one page of instruction. When we send it to us, like, it just doesn't really need to be like multiple PDF pages of things for you to do. It's like the basics. So I love that. And I was looking back too, and I think that we actually only worked together for 1 month. I mean, I typically like drag that like officially.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
think so.
I mean, I always like let people kind of, I brag it out and like check in, especially if they didn't like reach their goal immediately off the out the bat, which is typically anyone who's only working with us for 1 month, right? Because what can
Yeah.
you do in 1 month? So we were in touch for a long time, but
Right.
technically, like that was like one intake process, one and like two meetings of like, here's everything you need, and then just like emailing back and forth. Like, it doesn't have to be rocket science at all. Like, when you can just like remove the noise and focus in on what to try, and then like you definitely did some hard like just trust of the process because you'd had so much different information from different places of like what this could be. And like, it's a hard decision to be like, I'm just gonna try and trust this like one way, because it was aligned with what you wanted, which was natural conception. So hell yeah, right? But for many people, that's all that's like, they're right on the other side of that, and they just need to like trust it.
Yeah. Yeah, 'cause I think after we talked to you, or after I talked to you, it was kind of like, yeah, I think this is what this is. And it was just like, if you are really like convinced, like this is what the problem is, then it makes all of the stuff you have to do feel like less scary and stuff. It's just like, no, this is it. And I'd heard enough stories, like success stories on your podcast. I like listen to the podcast constantly to know like, okay, if I just do this, it can happen. And like all these people are saying the same things that I'm thinking, and so this must be my issue.
Yeah, like if I am a logical, reasonable human being, am I really going to be the one person who matches every part of these people's stories, but this doesn't work? Right? Like, is that really probable? No. And so you may as well give it a shot, and you can't be mad or upset. Like, that was the best you could do with the information you had at the time. And on the other side, you know what? If it's not this, you're going to learn something and get closer to your answer. Right.
Oh yeah.
So, yeah, this was great.
Yep.
Is there any other things, tidbits, or even pieces of advice or messages to other women that you want to make sure gets put out there?
Well, I think we kind of touched on it earlier, but just like the reality that there is such a mental freedom that you can have around food, and it doesn't have to be as consuming as it feels like it is right now, even like before recovery when you're so consumed with it, and then during recovery when you're like, all I think about is how much I need to eat and like trying to eat enough. It's like that goes away and you stop having to worry about it so much. You just kind of instinctively eat more and you eat what your body needs. You just have to kind of push through the discomfort for a little bit, but there is freedom around food.
Is believe it's possible for you. If you think this is your personality, it's really probably not. And that's just crazy. So yeah, but I'm right there with you. I'm in shock of myself all the time. Especially when you have a toddler. How old is your daughter now?
She's 8 weeks.
Yeah, she's like so little. When you start introducing food and you just like hate seeing the food go to waste, none of it's like they're just not touching it, or like, you're still learning what they're gonna like and not. And you're like throwing away all this good. You just end up eating it. And like once upon a time, I can't just eat this, like these cut up grapes and these like string cheeses. Like this is this, you're like, no, but now you know what? This is good. And this is my snack. You have that to look forward to. This was great. Thank you so much, Heather. I'm so glad you managed to get on the show. I know I've like micro hounded you for a while to come on and be on it. So thank you so much for coming and sharing and paying it forward to the people.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Of course. Thank you so much. You have a good night, and everybody too. And we'll talk next week. Bye.
Hey there, it's me, Danny, and I want to tell you about Temp Drop as a fertility awareness method tracking option. So many of you guys know that we actually recommend the fertility awareness method both as you're going through recovery and 100% after you have gotten some cycles back and you're starting to move forward for the rest of your reproductive years. So Temp Drop itself is a wearable fertility monitor, and we love it. It's a wearable device, so you put it around your arm and you can use that instead of taking your temperature manually with a thermometer each morning. So I'm personally a big fan of the manual tracking. All of us at the HA Society are, and that's the method that we use, you know, just using a good old thermometer. We use that with our clients because it's the best way to use it as a diagnostic tool, as a practitioner. And it's also the best way to ensure if you're trying to avoid pregnancy that you don't get pregnant. However, manual temping for many reasons is just not always an option. When you're in the middle of recovery, again, we do recommend manual temping, but once you're cycling, the Temp Drop is actually a really great hack. So it gives you basically everything you need to effortlessly track your fertility status, like where you are in your monthly cycle. So you wear the Temp Drop sensor while you're sleeping for accurate basal body temperature readings without the stress of early morning wake-ups. So I personally love this because with a toddler, my wake-up times are all over the place and the occasional sleep disruptions make using an oral thermometer a lot more difficult. So Temp Drop's accompanying charting app enables you to track an array of symptoms alongside your basal body temperature. This includes tracking your cervical mucus if you've been using OPKs, and then it also gives you sleep insights too. So you can combine these fertility signs all in one place, and that will help you identify your fertile window, confirm ovulation, plan for your period, and if you're trying to get pregnant, you know, identify whether or not you are pregnant. So whether you're trying to conceive or avoiding pregnancy, or you want to chart for health reasons, like HA recovery, making sure your cycle is not slipping back in the HA direction, Temp Drop makes fertility awareness accessible to all women, even if you don't have regular cycles or sleeping patterns. So track your ovulation in real time with the Temp Drop, and we are lucky enough to have a 15% off code. So if you go to their website, they're usually having a sale, but you can stack this code on top of the existing code. So just go to tempdrop.thehasociety.com and use the code AFHASociety. I think too, if you just go to tempdrop.com and use AFHASociety at the checkout, that will work too. So happy temping and good luck.
This episode is brought to you by Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules. Did you know that in terms of nutrient density, beef liver actually blows vegetables and fruits out of the water? If you're a client of mine, you have already been instructed to eat beef liver either fresh or in capsule form. I recommend it for anyone and everyone who is, of course, dealing with amenorrhea and fertility challenges out there, but I may even recommend it for just everyone in general. Get your husbands on it, get your partners on it. If you have a history of HA and add on top of that maybe a history of the pill, maybe you've been pregnant before, you know, through treatments or other, like you've just, your body's been through anything, you know, you're absolutely 100% dealing with a nutrient deficiency of some kind. And while it's true that testing is going to be the best way to understand those exact deficiencies, eating nutrient-dense, real food is going to be one of the most important next steps that you take with or without testing. So I've been using and recommending Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules for years now, and the capsule form makes it so easy to get your liver in every day, and I appreciate the transparency of this product in particular above others. So in case you're wondering, it's completely natural. This is freeze-dried beef liver in capsules. It's organic, it's made from Australian beef, and my favorite of their products is the liver with kelp because of the iodine from the kelp, which is important for overall thyroid function, which is often low in women with underperforming hormones. So Rather than eat seaweed snacks every day, I get to take this beef liver with the kelp for my iodine. So if you're recovering or working on a fertility journey right now, do not skimp the nutrient-rich source of beef liver. Get 10% off your order with the HA Society and support your favorite podcast along the way. They ship to most countries, so you should be covered. Just go to grasslandnutrition.net and use HA Society, just HA Society, at the checkout for the 10% off. That's grasslandnutrition.net with the code HA Society.
Thank you so much for listening today, guys. Please subscribe to the podcast, and if you could head to iTunes specifically and leave a rating or review, that would help so much because it makes it easier for other people with HA who are Googling around to find the podcast really easily. So if you do that, you're doing a service to all of the women.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.